That's what I wanted you to tell me. You have too many clothes on. Alexa unbuttoned his shirt all the way. He pulled it and his undershirt off and threw them across the room. I was in too much of a hurry to take them all off, he said. She pushed him onto his back and enjoyed the sensation of the warm, firm skin of his chest under her fingers. It wasn't like she'd forgotten how much she liked having sex with him. That was impossible to forget. But somehow, she'd forgotten how free she felt with him, how she could relax enough to lie naked on his bed in only a leather jacket and high heels and wait for him. She'd never been this confident with anyone else. Drew? She paused as her hand ventured lower on his body. You do have condoms, don't you? He grinned without opening his eyes. The same box I bought the last time I was in a hotel room in San Francisco with you. I didn't take it out of my bag. He opened his eyes. Why? Is there something else you've been missing? She caressed his hips, and he closed his eyes again. She said. Are you going to tell me what that is, or am I going to have to guess?
I think you should guess, but be quick about it. I've been missing it so much. Everything feels so...
She rubbed his chest again, up and down, and stopped just at the base of his stomach. So sensitive. I feel like I'm going to explode for needing it. When he opened his eyes, the need on his face almost pushed her back against the bed. He jumped off the bed and dove for his luggage, coming up a few seconds later with a triumphant look on his face and a box of condoms. Oh, I have a guess. He dropped the box on the nightstand and tore open a condom packet as he stood next to the bed and looked at her. I'm going to guess over and over again. All night long and most of the day tomorrow. We have to make up for lost time. The next morning, Alexa sat back against the plush pillows of the hotel bed and watched him pour coffee from the room service carafe into her mug. He added one sugar and handed it to her before pouring his own. She beamed down at her mug. She couldn't help it. He remembered how she took her coffee. She cupped her hands around the mug and let the warmth spread through her body. He got in bed next to her and pulled the basket of pastries up to join them. One of the best things about hotels, he said, is that you can get crumbs in the bed without worrying about it. I know it's no donut, but do you want the bear claw? He turned toward her halfway through his raspberry Danish. Hey, what's going on with your program for teenagers? The arts thing? She paused midway through pouring herself more coffee to smile at him. Wow, did it feel good for him to care enough to ask about that? I'm cautiously optimistic. The goal is to get it on the city council calendar for mid-July. Keep your fingers crossed. He tore the top off the blueberry muffin and offered her half. Great. Will do. He held up two crossed fingers and poured her more coffee. I saw Abby and Jack the other day, by the way. She told me about how much you're helping them. Thanks for that. He leaned over to kiss her. His lips were sprinkled with sugar. Perfect. When do we have to be out of here? She looked around him to the clock radio on the bedside table. It's almost 10. Wait, when's your flight? 12:30, but I can change it, like I... His voice trailed away as he turned away from her to pick up his phone. I can change to the flight at 8 tonight? Yeah, that works. She was glad he looked back down at his phone and couldn't see how wide her smile was. He moved the pastry basket to the foot of the bed and put his arm around her. Last night, you didn't say whether you were sleeping with anyone else. Oh. She hadn't expected him to bring this up again, and her whole don't overthink it motto certainly wouldn't have let her do it. No, I'm not. Good. He smiled and leaned down to kiss her, but she pulled away. Now that he had brought it up, I don't want this to be... But when you said you weren't sleeping with anyone else, did you mean... I know you meant the not-at-the-moment thing as a joke, but... He kissed her cheek and pulled her against him. "What I mean by that is that you're the only person I've slept with since I met you in that elevator, and that as long as we're doing this thing, that will remain the case. Okay?"
"As long as we're doing this thing?" rang in her ears. She knew it meant there was a time limit on their relationship, such as it was. But she didn't want to push this conversation too far. She didn't want to fight with him and spoil it all again. So she buried those misgivings. She rested her head on his shoulder.
"Okay." He lifted his hand to her cheek and rested it there for a moment before turning her toward him for a long, slow kiss.
"Now, let's make good use of our last hour of this hotel room, shall we?"
Chapter 16. When Alexa got in Drew's car at LAX the following Saturday morning, he kissed her for so long that airport security banged on his window to move him along. "Oops."
"How was that event last night?" he said when he finally drove away from the curb. The mayor had had a big charity event the night before, so Alexa couldn't fly down until Saturday morning. Drew was on call that night, so he couldn't fly up.
"It went well, I think. I haven't had a chance to check to see what the press said about it. I crashed when I got home, and the Wi-Fi was broken on the plane."
She settled against the seat and grinned at him.
"Is one of those coffee cups for me?"
He lifted the coffee he'd gotten her out of the cup holder and handed it to her.
The drive from the coffee shop to the airport should have cooled it down enough for your delicate tongue.
She lifted the coffee halfway up, paused, and opened her mouth. He laughed.
"I love that you're going to make that joke, but I just meant you're always complaining about coffee being too hot."
She smirked and put her purse on the floor in front of her before she took a sip. Then she looked up at him.
"Hey, Drew."
He fought back a smile. He knew what was coming.
"Hey, Alexa."
"What's in this bag right here?" she asked, pointing to the waxy paper bag at her feet. They both knew what was inside.
He didn't fight his smile anymore.
"Why don't you open it up and see?"
"Donuts! And they're still warm? How did you manage that? You're my hero."
She'd bitten into one almost before she finished that sentence. He looked over to see pure bliss on her face and grinned. The only other time her face looked like that was right after sex. Maybe he needed to work to keep that look on her face more often.
Thank God for that conference. He was so glad this woman was back in his life.
On the way back to his apartment, they drove by the Santa Monica Pier.
"I haven't been there since I was a kid," she said. "It was always so fun."
An SUV pulled out of a parking spot ahead of him, and he made a snap decision.
"No time like the present."
He reversed into the spot and grabbed her hand. "Let's go." When they got back to his apartment, they were both giddy, sunburned, and exhausted. They'd ridden the rides, played arcade games, eaten too much, and laughed even more. They'd even goaded each other into temporary tattoos. She'd gotten a flower on her cheek. He'd gotten an anchor on his bicep. Before they'd come back to his apartment, she'd made him run down into the water with her and shrieked when he splashed her. They dropped down onto his couch as soon as they walked in the door. She leaned her head against his shoulder, and he pulled her tighter against him. She curled her legs up on the couch so that her body was tucked against his. He wanted to drag her into the bedroom for a long afternoon sex session, or even just have her here on the couch again. But right now they were so comfortable. He'd wait just a few minutes. He woke up when the afternoon sun came through his kitchen windows and hit him in the eye. They'd somehow moved in their sleep to lying almost flat on the couch. But her head was still tucked in the nook of his shoulder, and his arm was still tight around her. He could stay like this for another few hours. His stomach rumbled. Oh, right. Except for that. The hot dogs and cotton candy from the pier couldn't hold him forever. She squeezed her eyes together and stirred, turning into his chest, away from the light. She kissed his chest as she snuggled against him.
and the warmth from her casual caress spread through his body.
"Hungry," she said into his collarbone.
"Hmm?" He stroked her hair away from her face. Remnants of the flower were still on her cheek. He rubbed at it with his thumb. She lifted her head a few centimeters.
"I can't believe you talked me into this flower. I'm sure I look ridiculous."
He smiled down at her, her cheek pink and creased from being against his chest.
"You look beautiful."
She pulled his head down to hers and kissed him, her hands in his hair.
"I'm hungry," she said against his lips.
"You?" He chuckled and ran his hands over her hair to her back and then again. A woman after his own heart.
"Starving.
What's your feeling on burgers and fries? We should probably eat here instead of going out, since I'm on call tonight." She kissed his collarbone again.
"I have very positive feelings about burgers and fries. Eating here is perfect, since I accidentally glued myself to this couch."
He kissed her ear to make her giggle, and rolled out from underneath her and stood up.
"Good thing you have me. I'll go pick them up and bring them back here while you try desperately to unglue yourself."
So they ate their burgers on the couch while they watched terrible movies on Netflix and kept their fingers crossed that he wouldn't have to go into the hospital. It was probably a real risk to pull her into the bedroom, but he was on call until 6 in the morning. Was he supposed to not have sex with her tonight? Afterward, damp and panting, he reached blindly for his phone to make sure he hadn't missed a call. Just then it rang. He kissed her hard and jumped out of bed after he got off the phone.
"I've got to go. Keep the bed warm for me, okay?"
She turned and looked up at him with that smile that always made his heart turn over.
"I'll be here when you get back," she said.
"I'm counting on it." It took Alexa a while to fall asleep after he left. It wasn't like she wasn't used to sleeping alone, but she missed him next to her. She wouldn't admit this to anyone other than herself, and then only late at night. But ever since that first weekend with him, every night when she lay in bed, she imagined him there with her, even those nights right after their stupid fight. She would think of his strong arms around her, hear his slow, steady breathing, feel his chest rise and fall, and his warm body against hers, and it all lulled her to sleep. It felt silly to do it there in his bed alone, but she did it anyway. She woke up in the middle of the night to feel him pull her against him. When his arms were around her, she felt like nothing else mattered, like nothing bad could ever touch her.
"Everything okay?" she whispered.
He kissed her forehead.
"It is now. Go back to sleep."
After a lazy day on the beach the next day, they went out for Mexican food Sunday night. She took a sip of her margarita, and her lips puckered at the salty-slash-sweet tang of the drink. She took a bite of a salsa-laden chip and smiled. Chips and salsa were tied up there with cheese and crackers for the perfect snack food. Maybe not as perfect for being stuck in an elevator, but... He interrupted her tequila-influenced musings.
"I'm not on call next weekend, so I can come up."
He paused. "If that works for you." She licked the salt from the corner of her mouth and noticed his eyes follow the movement of her tongue. She smiled and did it again.
"Yeah, that works for me."
She got to the office the next day, feeling much more wide awake than any woman who'd been on a 7 a.m. flight from LAX had any reason to be. But when she had a wake-up call like Drew's, well, that was going to keep her awake all day. Theo poked his head in her door on his way into the office.
"I don't need to ask how your weekend was. That look on your face says it all."
Her cheeks got hot, and she tried to tone down her smile. But when Theo plopped in her chair and handed her a donut, it blossomed again.
"I'll try to pull myself together by staff meeting."
Theo bit into his own donut and took a sip of her coffee. They'd long ago started taking coffee the same way to simplify their lives.
"You going to see him again, or is that an of course?"
She tried not to let her smile take over her whole face, but probably failed.
"He's coming up this weekend."
She switched the conversation to work so she wouldn't get carried away. What do you think the press will say about my program? Who are we targeting to leak about it? Or do you think an interview? Theo stood up. That reminds me, he said. We need to name this thing. It needs a good, terrible acronym. Just then, the mayor poked his head in Alexa's office.
Thought I'd find you both here. Just wanted to let you know Richards is against the delinquent project. He fought me on it at dinner this weekend.
Shit. Richards was the city councilman from the Berkeley Hills and a good friend of the mayor's. She opened her mouth to defend her project point by point when the mayor stopped her.
Alexa, you don't need to argue with me on this. I'm on your side. This is our program now. I'm just telling you what we're up against and what work has to be done. Just huddle with Theo and figure out a plan, okay?
She smiled at him. Yes, sir. Drew had driven straight to the hospital after dropping Alexa off at the airport. Even though that gave him plenty of time to get through his pile of stupid paperwork, he didn't get much done. Usually, when he got home in the middle of the night, after a stressful surgery, he felt exhausted and run dry. But Saturday night, when he'd walked into his bedroom and seen her there in his bed, he'd felt a sense of homecoming that he hadn't felt in years. And when he'd wrapped his arms around her and she'd curled her body against his whole self had felt at peace. He shook his head in an attempt to pull himself back to earth, or at least to his office. Why was he being such a teenager over this one girl? He was acting like this was the first girl he'd ever slept with. He was going to have to break up with her soon. If he didn't, he'd invariably do something to fuck it all up again. How terrible would it be when she looked at him with loathing in her eyes instead of that smile? He couldn't end things yet, though. They'd just started back up again. Maybe after this coming weekend. He'd settled back in with the paperwork when his phone buzzed. He snatched at it, but it was just Carlos asking if he wanted anything from Starbucks. Large, with a shot of espresso. He'd already had coffee with Alexa this morning, but after not a lot of sleep and getting up early to go to the airport, he'd need more caffeine than usual today. As Carlos walked into his office, his phone buzzed again. This time it was her.
Landed, but there were no donuts waiting for me at Oakland Airport. Terrible way to get off a plane.
He laughed down at his phone and looked up to see that smirk on Carlos's face.
Good weekend, I take it.
He picked up his coffee and took a sip. You can stop gloating any time now.
Yes, yes, you told me so.
Carlos grinned.
As long as you remember that.
When are you seeing her again? He shrugged.
This weekend, I'm going up there.
Carlos's grin got bigger.
Don't give me that look. Don't make a big deal out of this.
Carlos rolled his eyes as he left the room. Chapter 17. Alexa and Theo and their deputies huddled and came up with an acronym, Teen Arts Rehabilitation Program, or TARP, a name she and Theo knew they'd be mocked about forever. A deadline, the city council meeting in July, and a schedule of community meetings to hopefully garner support. This all meant Alexa was at work until 8 or 9 the whole week and spent a few more hours working at home on her couch every night. She probably would have worked a few hours less that week if she hadn't been texting with Drew in between every meeting, but she couldn't help it. His texts always made her smile, made her relax after tense moments, and sometimes made her blush. Him being so far away was starting to make her go crazy. Why couldn't she drive straight to his house from one of her long work days to get rid of some of her frustration in the best possible way? Why couldn't she wake up with him in her bed in the mornings, so at least she'd have those 5 minutes before she pulled herself out of the warm circle of his arms to feel content and at peace? Text messages were great and all, but, well, she was happy he was coming up this weekend. Drew loved feeling the buzz in his pocket and knowing it was her, that anticipation of reading what she'd said throughout the day, the smile she always put on his face. And he really loved the texts they sent each other late at night and sometimes referred to throughout the day. He told her about the baby who peed on him, causing both him and the baby's dad to double over with laughter. The 5-year-old twins, who both broke their arms when they jumped off the roof just to see if they could. The little girl who swallowed a penny during a temper tantrum and giggled uncontrollably when she saw it on her X-ray. One day, she had a meeting that he could tell stressed her out from just the length of her first text. "The good news is that my boss is firmly behind the project, and that is really good news. But the bad news is that some other important people aren't, and this is going to be a fight. I'm thrilled about the first thing, but kind of freaking out about the second." He tucked his files under his arm so he could respond. "That's awesome about your boss. You were worried, right?" Her response came a few seconds later. "Yeah, I was. Never realized he trusted me this much. But now I feel like I have to fight even harder." He sat down on the exam room table to think about his response. He didn't know anything about city politics in Berkeley other than what she'd told him. It wasn't like he could give her good or useful advice when she knew everything and he knew virtually nothing. All he could give her was his support, which felt like it didn't matter. He thought about texting, "You can do it," but that felt stupid. "He's lucky to have you in his corner." That was all he came up with. It didn't feel good enough. Her response took enough time that he wondered if he'd gotten it totally wrong. He walked down the hall to his office. His phone buzzed just as he set his files down at his desk. "That means so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it." At first, he tried to keep himself from grinning at his phone. But Carlos wasn't going to gloat or make fun of him, so he stopped trying and smiled so hard his cheeks hurt. "I'm sorry I had to work all weekend," Alexa said, as she drove him to the airport on Sunday night. "Not all weekend," he said, his eyebrows dancing. She poked him and laughed. "You know what I mean. Anyway, I know it was a boring weekend. I wish we could have gone out and done more, but these next few weeks are going to be so..." Just thinking about everything riding on her work made her anxious all over again. He put his hand on her thigh. That got her attention in more than one way. His hand there, so big and strong and firm and gentle, made her think of all of the other places his hands had been that weekend. She blushed as she looked down at it. "Monroe, stop apologizing. I had a great time with you. Hanging out on the couch together was fine. I know you have a lot going on. I'm glad you didn't want me to cancel my trip in the first place." She put her hand on top of his and held it in place. No matter how much work she had, it had never occurred to her to ask him to cancel. "I just wish I hadn't been on my laptop or on the phone with Theo half the time you were here." Was he mad about that? He hadn't seemed mad, but a few times when Theo had called and she'd picked up, he'd left the room. He turned his hand over and interlaced his fingers with hers. "It's okay. We'll have next time. It sucks that we can't do next weekend, though." She had community meetings both Saturday and Sunday, and he was on call, so he couldn't fly up. It was for the best, anyway. Her cousin Becca's engagement party was on Friday night, and it wasn't like she could bring him along with her to that. They had a sex-up-against-her-bedroom-wall kind of relationship, not a come-meet-my-family kind of relationship. But she was really sad about not being able to see him for 2 weeks. She felt a little panicky about how sad she was. And even though he seemed like he was sad about it too, she still had, "as long as we're doing this thing," echoing in her head. She moved her hand back to the steering wheel. "I don't know how you're going to survive without me for 2 whole weeks. Maybe Carlos will make fun of how much sugar you put in your coffee and how you can't handle spicy food just to keep you on your toes." He laughed and moved his hand off her knee. Just because she'd let go of his hand didn't mean she wanted him to move it. "You and Carlos have only met each other twice. How is it that you're so in tune? He'll do that without any prompting. Don't worry about it." He kissed her hard when she pulled up at the curb. "See you in 2 weeks?" he asked, as his fingers stroked her cheek. When he looked into her eyes like that, she would say yes to anything he asked her. Do you want to rob a Vegas casino with me? I promise it's for a good cause. Let's go skydiving. Tell me all of your deepest and darkest secrets. She'd have said yes to it all. Definitely, she said. Drew took a picture of the cheese and cracker plate he'd bought at the airport and texted it to Alexa when he got on the plane. Don't you wish you were sharing this with me? He'd had such a good time with Alexa that weekend. This thing obviously couldn't last that much longer, but why mess with a good thing? Ever since they'd gotten back together, being with her had been so relaxed and fun. It felt so comfortable. Maybe a little too comfortable? Perhaps it was good that he wasn't going to see her for 2 weeks. It made everything easier, more low-key. This was why she was the perfect person for him to date. She lived on the opposite end of the state. She had a super busy job, and they couldn't see each other that often. And when they did see each other, it was great. See? Perfect. He laughed when the flight landed, and a text from her lit up his screen. You ate me out of house and home this weekend, Nichols, and cheese and crackers. Accompanying the text was a picture of 3 open and empty cracker boxes and a cheese rind. He put his phone back in his pocket, still smiling. He ignored the weight in his chest at the thought of not seeing her smile for 14 days. It was probably just all of that cheese. Theo narrowed his eyes at her when she walked in on Monday morning. Coffee. Let's go. He had her outside before she could even put her purse down. What's wrong? He asked, as soon as they were far enough away from the building so they wouldn't be overheard. Were things bad this weekend? Was Drew an ass about you needing to work? She sighed. Had her poker face gotten that bad, or did Theo know her that well? No, he was great. He was great about everything. It's just, we're both busy next weekend, so it's going to be a little while before we see each other again, that's all. There were too many people they knew inside the coffee shop, so after they'd gotten their coffee, he steered her in the opposite direction of City Hall. You've been seeing each other every weekend, right? Theo asked her. She shrugged. Yeah, I mean, we hadn't planned on it that way. It just sort of happened. She avoided his eyes. He tore off a piece of his pastry and handed it to her. This thing seems to be getting kind of serious. Have you guys talked about what's going on between you two? She shook her head. All she wanted was coffee. Why did she have to get the third degree? She was irritated with Theo for bringing this up. Irritated with herself that tears had popped into her eyes. She blew into her coffee cup so Theo couldn't see them. Nah, it's just fun. It's not like it can go anywhere. He doesn't really do serious. Plus, I don't think either of us can keep up this kind of travel schedule for too long. My finances certainly aren't up to many more plane tickets. I'm just going to enjoy it while it lasts. Theo was still looking at her. She took a sip of too hot coffee to brace herself and winced. She looked back up at him with what she hoped looked like a genuine smile. Okay. He stopped on the corner, forcing her to stop, too. If you say so. I'm just worried that... Theo. Enough. She hadn't meant to snap at him. She never snapped at Theo. But she couldn't handle this conversation anymore. She didn't want to think about this, let alone talk about it. She shook her head. Sorry, Teddy. I'm sorry. I just can't do this right now, okay? He threw an arm around her shoulder and pulled her into a side hug. It's okay. But you know, if you ever want to talk... She leaned into the hug. I know. Now, let's get our tarp off the ground. Theo groaned. She laughed. Oh, don't you worry. I'm going to make so many jokes like that in the next few weeks. It's going to be great. You've sure been in a shitty mood this week, Carlos said, as they walked to their cars after basketball on Wednesday night. I can't wait for you to see Alexa this weekend, so you stop knocking people down on the court. Drew threw his gym bag in the trunk of his car. I didn't knock that guy down. I dove for the ball, and he happened to be in the way. Carlos laughed at him and leaned against Drew's car, which prevented him from driving away in a huff. He could still do it. He'd just maybe back over his best friend, which, given the way Carlos had been annoying him this week... You going up there this weekend, or is she coming down? If she's coming here, you should bring her to Angie's party. It'll be a blast. He should definitely back over him. Neither. He opened his door and waited for Carlos to take the hint and get in his own car. He didn't.
What do you mean, neither?
Neither what? Drew sighed. Now Carlos was going to make a big deal about this. Neither going up nor coming down is what I mean. We're not seeing each other this weekend. Other commitments. There. That was easy, right? He got in the car. But before he could shut the door, Carlos grabbed it.
That's why you're so crabby this week. You're not seeing your girl this weekend.
Drew shook his head.
She's not.
Carlos shut the door on him, but he could hear Carlos yelling anyway.
And don't even try to say she's not your girl.
She missed Drew even more that week than she thought she would. It was weird to miss him so much on a Wednesday. They never saw each other on Wednesdays. But somehow, just knowing that it would be another full week and a half before she saw him made it that much harder to be alone on her couch that night. She looked over to the opposite end of the couch, picturing him there the way he'd been the week before. It had been so comfortable. Her on her laptop, him half watching the basketball game and half reading through the pile of medical journal articles in his lap. Not talking, just being together. Sometimes she would read part of her city council presentation out loud, and he would help her wordsmith it, or ask her questions that made her realize she was using too much jargon and needed to simplify. She hadn't realized how helpful he could be. Periodically, one of them would get up to fetch drinks or snacks for both of them. They'd share a quick kiss as they both settled back into work. Well, okay, sometimes the kisses hadn't been so quick, but only sometimes. She'd worried that he'd been bored. But then if he'd been bored, he wouldn't want her to go down there for 4th of July weekend, right? She picked up her phone to text him, but put it back down. It wasn't like she couldn't text him at all. They'd been texting each other plenty for the past few days. But in the maudlin mood she was in, she'd probably say, "Drew, I miss you. I wish I was seeing you this weekend. I'm counting the days until I see you next." Which, that was all true, but some things she didn't need to share with him, or anyone else. At Drew's sister Angela's party on Saturday night, Drew kept thinking about how much more fun it would be if Alexa was there with him. He tried to shake that thought off. He wasn't drinking, because he was on call. That was probably why he was so irritable. But his irritation washed away when his phone buzzed in his pocket. He grinned at the text from her, a picture of a pile of donuts arranged and stacked like a wedding cake. "Look at what they had at the community meeting." He walked into the hallway to text her back. "They obviously don't know you that well. None of them have sprinkles." After two more texts, he gave up on the party and disappeared out the back door to get to his car. He called her before his car was out of park. "Hey," she said, that warm sound of laughter in her voice. Was she laughing because of his texts, or was she out with other people? "Hey, how was the meeting other than the donuts?" He heard noise and chatter in the background. When she said a muffled, "Be right back," the noise receded. So she was with other people. Not that she wasn't allowed to go out when he wasn't there, but he'd sort of pictured her sitting home on the couch, missing him. "It went really well, I think. I hope we have lots of parents and teachers on our side. Getting drinks with Theo and some others from work now." "That's great. How many people were there?" She gushed for a few more minutes about the meeting before he heard a muffled voice saying, "Alexa, another margarita?" "Sounds like you should go." He didn't want to say, but said anyway. She laughed again, clearly in a great mood. "Probably. Otherwise, they'll drink all of the tequila without me. Talk to you later?" "Yeah, talk to you later." Why wasn't he there with her and stupid Theo and her great mood right now? He should be there to see that laughter on her face in person, to hug her after a good night, to throw his arm around her when she was relaxed and tipsy after a few margaritas and the high that comes from a job well done. He was almost relieved to get a call from the hospital a few minutes later to get his mind off her. Chapter 18 Alexa woke up with a smile on her face on Sunday morning after the meeting at the church on Saturday night and Drew's unexpected phone call. They almost never called each other. They mostly communicated via text or occasionally email. Maybe he'd missed her that weekend like she'd missed him? But the smile got wiped off her face on Sunday afternoon. There was another community meeting in the Berkeley Hills about her program, and everyone there hated it. Well, they all pretended to like it, with all sorts of platitudes about how it would be a great thing if programs like this one worked, and how they cared so much about troubled children, and how great it was that the mayor had come up with such a creative plan. The problem was that all of those sentences had a great big but in the middle of them. But how do we know this would work? But these kids would be out on the street and still in school. But they'd influence other kids in school and turn them to a life of crime. But shouldn't we put city resources into programs for young children so we could make sure they stayed on the right track in the first place? And on and on and on. She'd prepared for this, of course. And the mayor had a list of talking points with answers to all of those questions. But she still felt deflated when she left. She wished, not for the first time, that this program wasn't so important to her. That she didn't have so much of her own history and identity and absolution and vindication tied up in this one effort. She wished that this was just a regular, run-of-the-mill project, like the playgrounds or the bike lanes or the farmer's market expansions, not one where, if this effort failed, she would feel like she'd failed her whole family. She wanted to go home and call Drew and spill all of this out to him. She almost did, especially after his out-of-the-blue call from the night before. But though they'd talked about a lot in the past month and a half, they hadn't gotten that personal. She didn't know if they had that kind of relationship yet, or if they would ever. What if he checked out after she spilled her guts to him? Could she handle that? Probably not. And that was the problem. She wanted him waiting for her when she got home. She wanted to talk to him about everything she was feeling. She wanted him to listen, to ask her questions, to reassure her, to tuck her into his chest and wrap his arms around her. But she knew none of those things were going to happen. She had to remember that. She tried to push those wants down into the depths of her brain and stopped for ice cream on the way home instead. Tuesday afternoon, Drew had a follow-up appointment with Jack. Only Abby was with him this time, and after he exchanged fist bumps with Jack, she turned to him. "So, how's your friend, Alexa?" He felt like he should shut down a question like this from a patient's mom, but he was too happy to talk about Alexa to someone who wouldn't make fun of him later that he couldn't. "She's great. I'm sure she'll want me to say hi to you for her." He knew that her real question was whether friend was the right word to define Alexa, but he avoided answering that. "How did Jack do with the MRI yesterday? I know you were worried." She patted Jack on the head. He handled it with flying colors. "Thanks for asking." Drew smiled at Jack. "Good job, Jackie, staying in that machine like you did. Most kids your age couldn't manage that." He turned back to Abby. "I don't have his results yet, but they should have been here by now. Let me go check on that." He found the report in his office, read it once, then again. He ran across the hospital to find Dr. Montgomery and had him look at it, too. He sat down in his office with his eyes closed for a moment before he forced himself to walk back into the exam room. Abby looked up from her book with a smile on her face when she saw him, but her smile dropped away. Thank God Jack had fallen asleep on the table. "What is it?" He sat down next to her and took a deep breath. "Dr. Nichols, what is it?" Shit. He just had to tell her. Why was doing this part of his job still so hard? "Abby, I'm so sorry I kept you waiting, but I wanted to double-check a few things with another doctor here. We won't know for sure without additional testing, but there's a mass in one of Jack's lymph nodes. Initial indications are that it's cancer. Abby went very still. She closed her book without marking the page and stared at him without a word. He shouldn't have spit it out like that. He should have done a better job of leading up to the C word. Telling parents bad news was the worst part of his job. I've already called our best pediatric oncologist for a consult, so if you can bring him back in Thursday morning, we can start doing more testing and, if necessary, come up with a plan. She stared back at him, still without saying anything. He wanted to touch her, or Jack, or say something to reassure her, but he couldn't do any of those things. "Abby, can I call someone? Should I call Fred?" She stood up and swayed for a second. He jumped to his feet and reached out to steady her, but she pulled back. "Okay, can you just have someone call me with details about the appointment on Thursday? I should take Jack home. I should call Fred. We need to..." Her voice trailed away as she picked Jack up and carried him out of the room. Drew sat back down and put his head in his hands. There was probably no good way to have that conversation, but knowing that didn't make him feel any better. When he stood up to go back to his office, he noticed Abby had left her book on the table. He tucked it in Jack's file, so it would be there for her on Thursday. He stumbled through his next few appointments, the look on Abby's face in the forefront of his mind the whole time. Thank God he was finished with appointments early that day. Hopefully, he could leave the office without running into anyone. He didn't want to see or talk to anyone. Well, there was one person he wanted to both see and talk to, but that was impossible. She was far away from this hospital right now. Except, she wasn't that far, was she? He made it to his car without talking to anyone and drove straight to LAX. Alexa was still depressed on Tuesday from the meeting on Sunday night. Even though she'd huddled with Theo and the mayor on Monday morning, she was convinced they had no chance of victory, at least not this time. The people in the hills had too much influence. They were rich and white. The teens she was trying to help were poor and brown. She knew who the city council was more likely to listen to. She got home at 7 that night and shed her dress, bra, and heels as soon as she walked in the front door, too tired and discouraged to bring them into her bedroom. She changed into yoga pants and a hoodie and stood in front of the open refrigerator, a glass of wine in her hand. She really should make herself a healthy dinner with all those vegetables she'd bought at the farmer's market on Saturday morning. Instead, she reached for the block of cheese in the drawer and brought it, a knife and a box of crackers, to the coffee table. Just as she sat down, her phone rang. She groaned. It was probably Theo, calling to tell her about a negative story that was going to be in the paper the next day, or someone from Councilman Watson's office giving her a heads-up that one of her few strong allies was going to defect. She took another swig of wine and reached for her phone anyway. Drew. With her luck, he was calling to tell her not to come visit him this weekend. He'd probably realized during the weekend off from her how nice it was to hang out with other people. Or he'd met some other girl after they'd hung up on Saturday night. Or maybe even before he'd called. Wait, was that why he'd called on Saturday night? To break up with her? But had he decided against it since she was with people? She thought about letting him go to voicemail, but decided to get this over with. Hey. She tucked herself back into her corner of the couch, wishing she'd brought the whole wine bottle to the living room. How are you? Are you at home? He sounded breathless. Had he just been running or something? Probably another reason why he was going to break up with her. He went running after work. She put on her yoga pants to sit on the couch with wine and cheese and crackers. Yeah, why? What she wanted to say was, why? Do you need to know so you don't break up with me when I'm in public? But she managed not to blurt that out. Great, he said. Her doorbell rang 2 seconds later. Wait, what? She put her wine glass down and walked to the door, phone still in her hand. She saw him through the peephole, with a bag over his shoulder and a tense look on his face. Damn it. She didn't even have a bra on. She opened the door, and before she could say anything, he stepped inside and pulled her into his arms. He pushed the door closed with his elbow and leaned back against it, holding on tight, his head tucked into the curve of her neck. She stroked his hair and kissed his ear, happier to see him than she could have thought possible. When he turned toward her, she felt dampness on his cheek. "Drew, honey, what's wrong? What happened?" She wanted to kick herself for calling him honey, but it had just slipped out. He shook his head, so they stood there for a while without speaking, their arms around each other, her fingers moving back and forth through his hair and up and down his back, his rough breathing the only noise in the hallway. Drew lifted his head and kissed her hard. He unzipped her hoodie and breathed in deeply when he found her topless underneath it. "Do you always just walk around your house like this? I should show up with no warning more often." He leaned down and kissed that hollow between her breasts and felt her fingernails scrape his scalp. "I didn't fly up here just to catch you shirtless in your house, but what a bonus," he said. She kissed the top of his head, his cheek, his lips. He sighed and she pulled back. "Why did you come? What's wrong? Tell me." Drew stood up straight. "Let's go sit down somewhere comfortable first." Alexa looked into his eyes for a long time. When he felt the tears start to well up again, he turned away. He was already embarrassed enough that he cried in front of her. He couldn't do it again. She took his hand. They walked into the living room, and she pointed at the couch. "Sit. I'll get you wine. Have you eaten? Are you hungry?" He sat, suddenly exhausted. "No, I haven't eaten since lunch. I should be hungry, but I'm not really." She tossed him her phone. "Pizza place is in my favorites. Call and order whatever while I get the wine. You know what I like." She came back with a full glass of wine in one hand and the bottle in the other just as he got off the phone. She sank down on the couch next to him and handed him the glass. He put an arm around her and felt that feeling of homecoming as she tucked her feet up on the couch and laid her head against his shoulder. This was why he'd come. He took a sip of wine and set the glass on the coffee table next to hers. I'm pretty sure, actually, that Jack has leukemia. She gasped and tried to sit up, but he tightened his grip around her shoulders, keeping her close to him. "Oh, Drew, how terrible! When did you find out? Have you told them yet?" He kissed her hair and released her enough so she could reach her wine glass. She took a sip and grasped his hand. "This afternoon." "Yeah, I told Abby right after I found out. I think I did a terrible job of it. She looked so broken." Alexa pushed his head down onto her shoulder. He went willingly. Her fingers combed back and forth through his hair. He felt better than he had all day, better than he'd felt in over a week. "Sweetheart, I don't think there's a good way of telling someone that their child has leukemia. I'm sure you did as good of a job as you could." He shook his head, but didn't bother to protest any more than that. He just wanted her to keep holding on to him like that, touching him like that. He spilled out the whole story, still resting his head on her shoulder. "It was so awful. I've had patients with cancer before, but those times, I always knew in advance. It wasn't a kid I knew. Why am I not better at this? Why can't I feel distant and academic about it, like other doctors I know?" She didn't answer him, but raised his head and kissed his cheek, then his mouth. They kissed like they were just getting to know each other, like they'd known each other forever. They spent the next 30 minutes like that, taking periodic breaks for sips of the red wine that went straight to his head, then coming back together, whispering soft words in between kisses. They only separated when her doorbell rang. "Pizza," she said, her hand still on his cheek. He stood up, surprised to find himself unsteady on his feet. Maybe he really did need to eat. He stumbled to the front door and found his wallet in the gym bag that he'd grabbed out of his trunk in the airport parking lot. He handed the delivery guy a handful of bills and brought the pizza into the living room, just as Alexa was coming back from the kitchen with plates. She poured herself more wine while he put pizza on their plates, and he quirked his eyebrows at her. "My glass is empty, too, you know." She shook her head and took a sip. "None for you until you eat something. I'm not going to have you collapsing on me here from stress and too much wine and no food." He started to argue, but the look on her face made him realize it was futile. He dove into the pepperoni, sausage, and extra cheese pizza and had finished two slices before he reached for his wine glass again. This time, she filled it up. "I'm sorry I descended on you without any warning," he said. I just needed to see you. I should have called, but he hadn't wanted to call. He hadn't wanted her to say that she had plans or was too busy and he shouldn't come. "It's okay." She put her plate down and poured herself more wine. "I would have just finished this bottle on my own if you hadn't come. Glad you could join my pity party." She lifted her glass to his, and he toasted her. "Why were you having a pity party? What's wrong in Alexa world? I thought things were going well after the meeting on Saturday." Alexa took another sip of her wine and fought the urge to lay her head on his shoulder. Then she wondered why she was fighting it. She curled up against him, and he put his arm around her. "Yeah, so did I. But Sunday there was another meeting, and it was different." He rubbed his hand up and down her arm. "That doesn't sound good. What happened?" She attempted to not sound as defeatist as she felt, as she told him everything. "Monroe, this is just one group of people. You don't know that they represent everyone in the hills," he said when she was done. "Plus, now you know exactly what you're up against, and this will make you all the more prepared for battle." She smiled, buoyed by his confidence in her. Maybe she should have called him on Sunday night. "I know, it's just..." She took another sip of her wine and put her glass down on the table. She twisted her fingers together and didn't look at him. "What is it? Tell me." She finally looked up. He smiled at her, with such a tender, open expression on his face that she reached out and touched his cheek. He turned his head and kissed her palm. "Tell me what's wrong." Drew had always known there was something about this program that she wasn't telling him. He hadn't pushed her, hadn't wanted to push her, but now he needed her to trust him, like he trusted her. She took a deep breath and grasped his hand. "This program, the whole idea of this program, it's a pretty personal one to me." She looked up at him. "You've probably figured that out." He nodded. "We," she sighed. "I don't know where to start this story." He lifted their joined hands and kissed the back of hers. "Wherever you want to start. We have all night." She laughed, but it came out half like a sob. "Okay." She turned so that she was facing away from him, but he didn't let go of her hand. "My sister, Olivia, and I, we're only 2 years apart. Growing up, she was my idol, my everything. I read books because she read them. I took ballet because she did. I played soccer because she did, though that one I was terrible at." He laughed. She looked up at him and laughed, too. "It's true, I was. I would pick flowers in the outfield during the game and make little flower crowns for myself." They smiled at each other, and then her smile dropped away. "When I started high school, I was so excited to be back at the same school with Olivia. And unlike my friends, I wasn't worried about starting high school because I knew I had my sister there to watch out for me." She got quiet. He waited for a moment before he asked, "What happened?" "One weekend night, after a few months of school had gone by, Olivia and her friends got in trouble. They all got high and then drunk, or drunk and then high, and broke into the high school, and stole some stuff. Someone heard them and called the cops. They got caught as they were on their way out. She splashed more wine into both of their glasses and took a long sip of her own before she continued. And you have to understand, I was a good kid, a very never-get-in-trouble, obey-all-the-rules kind of kid. And I was so shocked that my sister, who I looked up to so much, who I thought was perfect, would do something like that. And then everyone found out, and I was so humiliated. I thought everyone would think badly about her now, and badly about our whole family, that my teachers would think less of me, that everyone would make fun of me. She glanced in his direction, but didn't meet his eyes. "Why was it such a big deal?" He set his wine glass down. "That sounds like typical teenage stuff. I did stuff like that when I was a teenager, and never really got in big trouble, other than with my parents." She raised her eyebrows and let go of his hand. He felt colder without her touching him. "I know, but Drew, you're a white guy. Life is different for you. You were born with a benefit of the doubt that black kids never get." He put his hand on his knee. "That's true, but..." He didn't really know how to finish that sentence. She took another sip of wine and didn't look at him. "Come on, Drew. What would have happened if you'd gotten drunk and broken into your high school? What did happen when you did stuff like this? Someone yelled at you and told your parents. You maybe got grounded and got your car taken away. But the school didn't do anything big. Possibly a suspension, but probably not, because you were a golden boy. You were one of the smart, charming ones who everyone loved and everyone could see would eventually make it to medical school, because you were a white kid. So they got mad at you, but always with that smile behind their eyes to let you know they didn't really mean it, and they actually thought it was a little funny. And boys will be boys. Even if someone called the cops on you, which they probably didn't, the cops wouldn't arrest you. They would just give you a lecture, and then maybe tell a story about the time they did something bad when they were a teen like you. Right? That was frighteningly accurate. He flashed back to the time that Mrs. Mann had caught him and his buddy Toby stealing the principal's car for a prank, and had just winked at them and pretended she didn't see anything. They'd gotten the car up to the roof of one of the outbuildings of the school, and the principal went ballistic, but no one ever told him who did it. Would Mrs. Mann have done the same thing if it had been Malik, who was in his AP chemistry class she'd seen in the driver's seat instead? He wanted to think so, but too much in the world had told him otherwise. What would have happened to him? He felt like he was tiptoeing through this conversation right now. He wanted to ask questions. He wanted her to keep talking. But he didn't want to say or do the wrong thing, and he had no idea what the right thing was. While he thought, he slid another slice of the now lukewarm pizza on her plate. She smiled her thanks, but didn't pick it up. And she still didn't look at him. "Yeah," he finally said. "You're right. That's exactly how it happened with me. I should have thought of that." "What happened to your sister?" To his relief, she answered. "She was arrested, along with all of her friends. It was a pretty terrible night. She started to say something else and trailed off. "Did she have to go to jail?" She shook her head. "In Oakland, then, there was a pilot program sort of like TARP." Her voice went back to her chief of staff cadence. "It only lasted for a year, but it was just at the right time for Olivia. So instead of having to serve a sentence or have it on her record, she did the program. And since I know what a difference it made for her, I feel like it would make a difference for teens in Berkeley today. Olivia got to achieve everything she wanted to because people gave her a chance." She still wasn't looking at him. He picked up his wine glass, put it down. "What are you not telling me?" She shifted on the couch, pulled her knees up, and put her arms around them so her body was one tight ball. "Oh, Drew, I was so mean to her." Her voice caught. She stopped, closed her eyes, and swallowed before continuing. I was mean and snotty and insulting. I made her feel so bad for what happened. I did it on purpose. I became a tattletale to our parents for everything.